In the name of Jesus, with whom we begin our new quarter, amen. The word of God for this morning is the 15th verse from Psalm 25, a portion of which you just heard. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Have you ever come into chapel and bowed your head to pray and noticed that one of your shoes was untied? Have you ever bowed your head and noticed that your tie was a little crooked? In a communion service, have you sometimes forgotten what was happening in the front of the church and instead focused on what the people looked like as they went back and forth down the aisles? Have you wondered what you yourself look like to the others, to the rest in attendance? Have you ever stood to worship in the liturgy and been distracted from it all because you saw that the collar on the coat of the person in front of you wasn't laying quite flat? Have you ever stood to pray and closed your eyes and noticed that you tend to lose your balance unless you're holding on to a pew? Have you ever closed your eyes to pray and pinched your eyes real tight so that you see all these wonderful geometric designs flashing before your eyes? Now, all these things are rather harmless symptoms of what can be a much bigger problem. The psalm here defines faith as having our eyes always focused on the Lord himself. Or as the New Testament puts it, looking to Jesus, the beginner and completer of our faith. Looking to him, constantly to him. But sometimes we like to look for our help and comfort in two places which are entirely wrong. For one thing, we look, of all places, at ourselves. Or we tend to look only at our fellow human beings and what they are doing. To these two misdirected looks, we can attribute virtually every spiritual perversion known to man. First, we look at ourselves. Dogmatically speaking, we use the phrase in corvatus in se, that we are curved in upon ourselves, relying on our own insight instead of the outsight of faith. We tend to contemplate our navels. Or if we've had too many potluck suppers, we try to find our navels. But if that's a problem, you won't have to worry about seeing that your shoe is untied either. We contemplate what we look like when we're at the communion rail. We contemplate our shoes, our ties, the funny designs before our eyes. We contemplate losing our balance, but it's always looking at ourselves. This looking at ourselves is what caused Adam and Eve to look at their own nakedness and to hide from their Lord in the process. This self-look is what led Peter to look at his own feet instead of at the one who was in the boat, and he was sunk. This self-looking leads to worry about what you will eat and what you will wear. It leads to pride, where you see how long your fringes are and how broad your phylacteries are. It leads to works righteousness, where we look in a mirror and say, who is the fairest of them all? This looking inside of ourselves leads to this Americanized caricature of the Christian faith, where we stand up to be counted, where we draw from the bottomless well of the human spirit and pull us up by our bootstraps. This looking at ourselves leads to turning the baptism that the Lord gives us into a circus of our own making. Looking at oneself turns the Lord's Supper into a jarring of our memories. And meanwhile, it makes our prayers into a means of grace instead. This self-look leads to pietism, which Ezekiel describes as trusting in your own beauties instead of the one who gave you these beauties through the forgiveness of sins. Or, on the other hand, it leads to antinomianism, where we supposedly confirm the grace of God by seeing how gross we can possibly be. This looking at oneself leads to Calvinism, where we confirm our election to the right place by looking at our own actions. It leads to us taking ourselves too seriously, as though we could do God some harm or do him a favor. Looking at oneself leads to a self-centeredness where you say, in effect, well, I've observed myself and I've noticed that I'm crabby today, so you better watch out for me. Looking at oneself tends to make one psychoanalyze his Christian faith. To be tuned in to your feelings. Talk about the blind leading the blind. To think of plumbing the depths of God by asking the question, who am I and what makes me tick? This self-look leads to a decision for Christ kind of theology, where we in effect say, I have decided in my own mind that I'm going to let God survive for a little while longer. This self-look leads to an experience-based kind of Christianity, where we psychoanalyze the gifts of the Spirit as though they were human aptitudes, where we have an emphasis on our yielding and our self-emptying and our personal wrestlings with God. Personal wrestlings, you lose. It leads a counselor to forget to ask the client, how are you doing? And instead he asks the question, how am I doing in this session? It leads a pastor to get so hung up on himself that he completely alienates the entire congregation. It leads a man to stand up at a floor mic at a synodical convention and say something that's perfectly obvious to everyone, just so that he can hear his voice booming out of this huge PA system. And when we're not looking inside of ourselves, we're looking to other people, our fellow human beings. This horizontal look leads to fretting about what other people think. It leads to this fruitless effort called keeping up with the Joneses. It leads to the paralysis of anger and jealousy. Looking to others leads to an enslavement of reactions, where your whole life and everything you do becomes simply a reaction against what someone else is doing, and you never yourself wind up doing what you feel is the right thing to do. Looking at others tends to make one overconfident as he draws comparisons with his fellow man and says, surely the Lord will receive me into his eternal mansions because at least I'm better than him. Or it leads to a despair of comparisons when, as a pastor, you look at the church down the street and see how they fill the church to the rafters three times. And that's just in midweek Advent services. You should see the five services on Sunday morning. This looking to others leads us to admire those personal testimonies where a person stands up and says, I have now reached the point of my life in my life where I have moved beyond the grace of God. It leads us to fawn over these Christian personalities, or stars, if you will, who billboard themselves to the church like they were Hollywood stars. This looking at each other turns weddings from worship services into grotesque spectacles. It turns Christian holidays like Christmas, into celebrations of our love for each other. This looking at each other leads Christians to sit in a circle and pool their own personal opinions, and then have the nerve to call this activity a Bible class. This looking at one another leads us to define fellowship in terms befitting the Rotary Club, to define the holy ministry in terms befitting the House of Representatives, who are simply carrying out the mandate of the people. This looking at one another leads to an emphasis on arguing in the church, and Paul versus Apollos politics. Isn't it refreshing when you read somewhere how churchman A said something or another about churchman B, and then you hear a layman react by saying, "Personally, I don't care. I think they're all taking themselves far too seriously." My eyes are always toward the Lord. There is a time when we do look at ourselves. In fact, we should look inside of ourselves with a good, hard, and honest look. But that look we give inside ourselves doesn't last very long. We're disgusted and revolted by our rottenness and our sins soon enough. And then very quickly, through word and sacrament, we take our eyes off of ourselves as fast as we can, and we focus our eyes on the Lord once again. And as we look to Him, we realize that His eyes are already meeting ours. And we realize in that moment the very heart of our salvation, that all along, through the blood of His Son Jesus, He has been continually looking at us with forgiving grace and with resurrection power. We continue on in this world as restored people and with our eyes continually focused on Jesus Christ. And as we continue to look at Jesus, we start to look more and more like Him in our lives. More and more like Him. Oh, but it's not that we would ever know it. We don't even let the right hand know what the left hand is doing. That's because even as His forgiven, restored people, we're still not looking at ourselves, but we're still looking to Jesus. Our trust remains not the new signs of health that we feel welling up within ourselves, but the word of the doctor himself who has said, "You have been made well." I see Him now with my eyes always focused on Him, and I will see Him on the last day with my own eyes and not someone else's. Until then, the church will continue in this world as a place where we have an altar and not a mirror, where we have the reading of scriptures instead of personal diaries, where we have one baptism instead of a series of dedications, where we have the Lord's Supper instead of potluck suppers, where we have a mission instead of public relations. Until that time, the church remains a place where, and especially as we approach the season of Lent, where we are looking, always looking, upon Him who was pierced for you and for me. Amen.